It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru...
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Hello there, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoce, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. This show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The man who likes to mix sound bites whenever possible, which makes him valuable on that side of the booth. That's why you're over there and I'm over here, Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
Big show, full table. Well,
yes,
not
it is.
Almost. We are one table, one seat shy, but she will get here.
Yep.
But got a couple of special guests, and all our guests are special. It's like Saturday Night Live. Every show is great.
We got a great show for you tonight.
The Cult are here. I would love if the Cult or Springsteen or Buddy Guy. So you don't have to pay $100 to see Buddy Guy. Yes, we're in post Super Bowl whatever. But hanging out with us today, Craig Mintz of IMAX Theaters. How are you, sir?
Good, sir. Thank you for having me.
And I don't need to introduce him. I'll let him do it.
Oh, it's horrible being back here again with you, Matthew. And on such a dreary day, this is my sunshine.
His only sunshine. It keeps him gloomy when skies are gray. Sammy Terry's in the house. He's got a special coming up on Valentine's Day. And it's a film that's more horrible than the film Valentine's Day, but for different reasons. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Craig is here. One, because I'm shocked and a little ashamed that a longtime fan, and this is his first time on the show.
Yeah.
So, oh, welcome to Guilt Friday here at Film Sociology. But no, I'm glad you're here. And you have a film that opened right before the Super Bowl, but now the Super Bowl is over. We can actually go on and acknowledge things are happening.
Exactly.
So, and Rescue 3D is coming. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about it, and then I have a chat with the director to share with everybody.
Yeah, this is a new film that we've brought to Indianapolis. It's called Rescue 3D. It's one of those films that it's hard to conceptualize by the title, but it's obviously about first responders that go down to Haiti, and it's a great uplifting kind of human kindness feel good piece about these four different individuals from like acting globally to go help these people down in Haiti right after the earthquake.
And you know, you say uplifting, that's good, because here's what's opening today: Journey to the Mysterious Island. Yeah. Safe House, which I have not seen Safe House, but I know, I just have this bad feeling. If you have a film with Ryan Reynolds and Denzel Washington, well, I didn't make the movie, but I think I know how it's going to turn out, and I know that's going to make Mr. Slagle a very unhappy man. So I guess we'll ask. Sammy, could you do something about Ryan Reynolds for us, please?
A slab waiting for Ryan.
And it's got a fine rub on it.
Lots of salt.
And other Angelina Jolie films. What else is open? Oh, The Vow. Fair Sweet Bianca's going to make you go see that, isn't
yep,
she?
You bet.
No, save yourself, Kobe.
Any film that is labeled The Girl from the Notebook and The Guy from Dear John.
That's on the poster.
No, that's in the ad campaign. Is it on the poster, too?
I don't know. But
I think it is. But it's not based on a Nicholas Sparks novel, although it really, really, really looks like it's based on a Nicholas Sparks novel. No, I know it's – no, the next Nicholas Sparks thing – and don't ask me why I know this because I have correspondence everywhere. But apparently Zac Efron is starring in the next Nicholas Sparks adaptation extravaganza. Anyway, The Vow is opening and Star Wars Episode One 3D for those that really need to see that in theaters in 3D. Let's move on. The silence was saying a lot more. It was Pinterest-esque. All right. So earlier this afternoon, I got to talk to Stephen Lowe, the director of Rescue 3D, to talk about his involvement with the film and about 3D IMAX technology in general. Let's start with, how did the idea of the documentary come about?
Well, we talked... We presented the idea to our sponsor, Boeing, they were interested in the idea of depicting their aircraft, the C-17, in a kind of a humanitarian effort like we ended up filming. But it took quite a few years before we could find one that we could successfully get into and film. We tried in a lot of countries. It was virtually impossible, like in China, just the red tape, very, very difficult. So in the case of Haiti, it was from a filming point of view, it was ideal because the military, American military, had sort of taken over the airfield and were running a very good operation in terms of getting aircraft safely in and out of, and also the Canadian Navy in different parts of Haiti. So but there effectively was no red tape because there was no government.
I was wondering, because I was curious, this was all set up before the earthquake, correct?
Yes, several years before. We were trying to get into various places. We knew it was going to be very difficult to do. Even in the United States, film crews have difficulty in those kinds of situations because they're kind of extra in the way, and the military kind of tends to shoo them away. So if you tried to run a helicopter or something, you might find that you weren't welcome. In the case of Haiti, it was really a unique situation that we could go and really and film, and were welcomed by the people because people were anxious for the world to see what was going on there and the needs they had and so on. And so they were very open to film crews.
Now, before Haiti, I know you were going to profile a commander, two pilots, and I believe it's a volunteer rescue technician in training. How did that selection come about to profile those people?
That's really, really a complicated process because some of it was just good luck, and some of it was back filming. But we were in the process of filming some basic military exercises. We were filming on a destroyer from Scotland to Canada. And when this earthquake took place, it was a few days after we got back, and that ship that we'd been filming on for 2 weeks turned around and headed for Haiti. So that whole side of that story was kind of already started, and we basically followed them to Haiti. The other characters we met up with in Haiti. Steve Heiklin was a guy that sort of got us to help him with some evacuations he was doing, and we connected with him and watched some of his and filmed some of his operations at a hospital, and so. Each one of them is kind of a different story. We didn't know the National Guard pilot, but he had been in Haiti, so we kind of back-filmed his story after the fact because he had spent a few weeks there flying hospitals around. And so each one of them is kind of a different story, but complex. Mm-hmm. IMAX is a very complicated, heavy, difficult medium to use, and... to work in that kind of environment is with such a big equipment. It's like, 10 times bigger than Hollywood stuff. So that was the big challenge, is to, you know, get the equipment in and out of those really tricky situations.
Mm-hmm. Now, how big a crew did you have?
Well, including the pilots, we had two helicopters, and then we hired quite a few Haitian guys, and so I guess we had about 18 or 19, mm-hmm. typically on an average day.
Now, besides getting the equipment in and out, what were some of the other obstacles when you were in Haiti filming?
You know, the flying is difficult. We had a gyro-stabilized camera. You know, our goal was to get down close into these areas, and without causing any more hardship than already existed. So that was tricky. We had to stay away from buildings, and we were always concerned about people who were working on top of buildings and getting too close to them. And then we had a separate crew that was down on the ground level. And that's difficult. Everything is complicated, the food situation, and just trying not to get in the way and yet get good footage.
Now, I asked because you guys were down there, where was the line between filming and helping?
Well, we helped whenever we could. We did use the helicopter on a number of occasions, one of our helicopters, to move people around. We took five people out of we helped to ferry them to the airport that Steve Heitkin was taking to the States for major surgery. There were two girls that were missing legs, and Steve, you know, is a fantastic character. He's like something out of MASH. You know, he's always wheeling and dealing and organizing, and so anything he did for the film, you know, he wanted it returned in favors to help his people, and which we just enormously respected him for that.
Can you tell us a bit about the other people that were profiled?
There's a splendid C-17 pilot by the name of Lauren Ross, who I became interested in that in transport pilots when we did Fighter Pilot, another IMAX film a few years before, and I was just fascinated by how these young people who are very young, you know, in their early 20s, are trained to fly these huge airplanes. And in her case, well, in all of these cases, the C-17 lands on very short runways, often lands in dust, dirt runways, and very, very short. So while we were filming, we were part of that whole process. And I was just enormously impressed by the skill of these young people and the dedication. It was, to me, a very moving thing to see. And then I guess a defining moment for me in this film was when I first went to Haiti. We flew in from the Dominican. This was kind of our first look at it. We came from the seaside because it just suited the pilot. So we saw this horrible devastation, just unbelievable scale of everything flattened and crushed, and there were a lot of people holding their arms up in the air. They were desperate for food and water, and it was really heartbreaking for all of us. But then on the way back, we came back to the Dominican on the land side, and we started to see the convoys of trucks, and we saw the ships in the harbor, and just the enormous scale of the rescue operation was really very, very emotional for all of us, because there was this terrible thing that happened, but the world was responding to it. That's what we decided to make the film about. Up until that moment, it wasn't terribly clear in my mind, but after that, it was about the scale of the international scale. I mean, there were, well, obviously Americans, Canadians, Europeans, Chinese, Italians. They're just people from all over the world that had shown up there en masse. the planes were coming in, the C-17s were coming in, and they were the engines were left running, and they were unloading them very quickly and taking them off again. And it was very moving and dramatic thing to see. And so we set about, you know, documenting that in the film.
How long were you in Haiti?
Just over 2 weeks.
Now, since it's in 3D, I guess, can you give folks an example of what a 3D moment could happen? And so folks will know it's not an action film gotcha moment. I think of something more along the lines of Herzog's Cave of Forgotten Dreams, where you get a scope of the environment. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of aerial work. There's a intimacy about 3D, which is quite wonderful, and you get, I mean, you're basically there. You're there digging in the rubble along with the characters. But on the other hand, the IMAX is wonderful for the detail in the air, and the kind of scope and the aerials are incredible to see. It's really like being there.
You say there's an intimacy among 3D. Could you tell that to the other filmmakers, please?
Well, I don't know what to say about that.
I hit you with that.
We've been at it a long time. My father, I should mention, did the first 3D IMAX film in 86, and then I did the second and the fifth and the sixth and so on and so forth. So we've been doing it for quite a long time, and the only way to learn is to do it and see the feedback, you know, to see what you've done. It's a very tricky thing to learn. It's a strange thing that you think that something is just obviously going to be great 3D, and it often isn't, or sometimes isn't, and vice versa. And it's a very complex mixture of parallax and proximity and lighting and composition and all of these things. A little like normal film is kind of tries to achieve 3D by moving the camera constantly and also separating the layers in complex lighting. So it's been going on for a long time, even before stereo came around. But it is complex. It's hard to know how well it's going to work until you see it.
What has been the biggest difference since the beginning, since you got to witness the beginning of it? Technology-wise, filmmaking-wise?
We used very large cameras in the early stages, the full IMAX 1570 cameras. And the first camera I used was with the crane it hung on and the gyros. It was, you know, nearly 2,000 pounds of gear with a generator. We had a Honda generator that was necessary to run the whole thing. So the equipment has gotten smaller. We use we use the 1570 for some of Rescue, but for some of it we use 8x35, a double 3D system that pulls 35 millimeter sideways. It gives you about four times more information than let's say a Hollywood film.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot easier to use, but now people are trying to use digital, and that's getting pretty difficult because there just isn't enough information in digital compared to film. You know, 1570 was just enormously large negative. It's going to be a long time before digital catches up to that, if ever. I think that's what people are finding out, and that's, you know, that's why I think a lot of people are getting sick of 3D, because the quality just isn't there.
Mm-hmm. It seems, looking at your resume, it's not that you're making films, but it seems like at times you're making adventures as well.
Oh, yeah, they've all been adventures. Well, any filmmaker will tell you making a film is an adventure.
Well, that's true, but it feels like with yours they're actual adventures as opposed to recreating an adventure.
Yeah, I think that rings true. It's you know, it's been an incredible adventure. We did the Titanic, you know, we did 18 dives on the Titanic, and that's certainly an adventure. You know, we filmed the Bismarck. We just a lot of things that I guess people expect that in IMAX. They want to see something that they wouldn't otherwise see. So you're there, you know, and a lot of helicopter work. And that in its own right is an adventure and quite dangerous to do. You have to be very, very careful.
What are you working on next?
Well, we just finished a film called Rocky Mountain Express, which is a train story of the building of a CPR and a steam engine journey across Canada. And there's a number of things in the pipeline, one called Cool Planet, which is another 3D film, which is an environmental film. But we're not greenlit on anything yet, so that's always part of the adventure. Well, I guess funding is the biggest part of the adventure.
Now you should film that in 3D and put it on IMAX.
Oh yeah.
My 3D ideas never happen.
The good ones.
Food Network in 3D. No. And those who know me, you know which shows I'm talking about. But that is Stephen Lowe, the director of Rescue 3D, which is being shown right now at IMAX downtown.
Correct.
And how long is that running?
I will have it for a couple months, so it'll play through the spring season.
Okay, and then you talked. There's proceeds. There's good community service.
Definitely, a portion of the ticket sales for this film actually go to the Red Cross. So everybody that buys a ticket, a portion of your ticket fees are going to the Red Cross.
And what else is going on at the theater right now?
We've got all kinds of fun stuff. We're still running Mission Impossible 4, so we've got a couple more weeks on that one. We are getting ready. Actually, our next film launch is going to be a film called Tornado Alley 3D, which stars and directed by Sean Casey of Storm Chaser fame.
Oh.
He's actually coming in for opening weekend. Too.
Really?
Yeah, so he'll be around.
I'd still rather get strapped to a pipe with Helen Hunt, but that's just me.
So all kinds of fun stuff. Lots of movies coming out over the next couple months in IMAX.
And where can they go for more information?
IMAXindie.com.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. Craig, hang out.
I will be here.
Why? It's just going to get silly.
I finally got here, so I might as well stay.
You were not late. I give you I'll give you the list of guests who are really late. When we come back after the break, we'll talk about what's new on DVD. We'll talk with Sammy Terry, and Sammy will meet the Twilight correspondent of film sociology. God help us all. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Thank you, Wesley. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Craig Mintz, Sammy Terry, and Bianca, Fair Sweet Bianca, the Twilight correspondent, are all here with Kobe Slagle and myself. Before we get to the DVDs, though, there is something I do want to mention that's opening tonight at the Keystone Art Cinemas. There are two separate events going on there. There is the Oscar-nominated short films, the animated short films, and then there are the live-action short films. So you can go check that out. Go to landmarktheaters.com for times. What's really cool about these, and I got
have you seen any of them?
I have. I have very much so. Love them. Because this comes at the right time. I'm going to give you a little insider secret as far as critics go. Right now, we're still, being an Indianapolis critic, we are still hoping that more Oscar-nominated and then eventually Oscar-winning films will come to our fair city. It's amazing what getting a nomination will do. It will actually come to Indianapolis. And what's been cool the last few years is that there has been a tour of the live action and the animated short films. So, because I remember watching these categories as a kid and going, Dad, where am I going to ever find these? You know, we would, the closest is maybe looking in the Detroit paper and seeing if one of the colleges would show it. But the fact that we have art cinemas throughout the country that are willing to show these selection of shorts, and what was cool was I knew nothing about any of these. There is a Disney one, but I didn't know any of the films, didn't know any of the storylines, and there's been that period where we've been watching the Oscar contenders, which has been great, and then we had to actually man up and start watching films that are released in January, which is right up there with films being released in August, except for Rise of the Planet of the Apes. So they're dumped in January for a reason. So watching these shorts for me has been a cleansing of the palate cinematically. And films like The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lesmore, La Luna, which is the Pixar one. So, yes, Pixar did get a nomination. It just wasn't Cars 2, and that's really okay. Morning Stroll is another one, and some of the live-action shorts. I haven't made the decision yet. I have not made my official predictions on this, but there's a live-action short called Pentecost set in a Catholic church area in Ireland in 1977, and the fact that the priest is setting up a mass with the archbishop talking to the altar boys like it's a soccer match. You know, everybody has their position, everybody has their duty, so I could relate to that. Wildlife is another animated short. Sunday is an animated short. So anyway, go check those out. If you don't know anything about it, it's really okay. I'll be lucky if I can find a film, maybe one to two films a year, where I sit down and I don't know anything about it going in. Because, you know, we have to blame the trailers, the bad magazines, the bad TV, the bad intraweb. So this is one of those times. So go take a chance, go check it out. So now we're going to shift gears. And I brought in Fair Sweet Bianca, the Twilight correspondent, because normally DVDs and Blu-rays are released on Tuesdays. But apparently, if it's not released on a Tuesday, it's an event. So apparently, at midnight tonight, Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1, cha-ching, cha-ching, is coming out on DVD. Fair Sweet Bianca, are you going to be at a store at midnight?
I think so. If Kobe will let me. I'd like to go to Target, because they're having a party starting at 11.
A Twilight
party.
What are they doing at these parties?
Yeah, please.
They're Nikki Reed, who plays Rosalie.
Hi, on the air. Show going.
Nikki Reed is having a little cameo throughout that first hour, just kind of leading up to the actual release. And then they're actually going to show some exclusive footage from part two before anybody else gets to see it.
I see.
Which is partly why I want to go.
But Nikki Reed's not going to be in Indianapolis, is she?
No.
See,
I think it's going to be like in the television section at the stores, and it's just going to be shown on all the screens.
Oh, so all the Targets are in cahoots on this one. I see.
Yes, all the Targets and Walmarts. Yeah.
So there'll be young men with anger issues, whether they're glittery or shirtless.
Let's hope.
Wow. Okay. All right.
But I also want to add that there are some limited edition DVD with authentic prop flowers from the wedding scene.
Really?
And you can get, yeah, in a little acrylic case.
I'm sorry. I think I just heard Sammy Terry's eyes roll out of his head. Because somebody, Craig, could you pick those up, please? It looked like a Tex Avery cartoon.
If it's not lilies on a casket, I'm not interested.
The problem was, I thought the flowers in the first wedding dream sequence, they looked really CG. Are they CG flower petals that are in this thing? You don't know. You don't. Okay, that's quite all right. All right. Well, that being said, every now and then I say the mantra: I see films so you don't have to. And sometimes they show up at my front door, and the DVD of Twilight showed up at my front door on Monday. So I watched it, and I will say this:
you loved it.
No,
hella bad.
Yeah, thank you. Play that again. That's so good.
Yeah, it's not hella bad.
I will say this about the film. One, it's directed by Bill Condon, who gave us Dreamgirls in Chicago. So you have an actual director, which is nice. No slight on Catherine Hardwicke. He had to do something after 13, apparently. That film should have been 30 minutes shorter. And I'm going to be angry with this film like I was with the last two Harry Potter films. You could have easily made
oh my goodness.
No, you could have
I have the same comparisons here.
You could have easily made
Potter.
You could have easily made a 3-hour film of the last Twilight book, because everybody, the Twilight crowd is so rabid, they could handle sitting through 3 hours of that. So the fact that was split up, the wedding, of course, most cinematic weddings are too long. Except for The Deer Hunter and Breaking the Waves. And, of course, that's always a setup, because you know after those weddings, it's all downhill from here. And that's the case here. And I will say that I'm trying to think of the base audience, not the Cougars, but the other base audience. They probably have never seen the glamorous movie wedding. This is theirs. I get that. I do get that. And there's no glitter that we've made. There's a lot of the elements of the film that I have made fun of in the past that's not here. Yeah, Robert does not glitter in this, and Lautner takes his shirt off once early to get it out of the way for the Cougars. That's fine. Wolves arguing in human speak with human voices, that's ridiculous.
That was a little lame.
A lot lame. And camera cam through Bella's body, that I don't need that either.
That kind of reminded me of Spider-Man. You know, like in the beginning, the
opening you mean people are breaking their legs because of Julie Taymor?
No, it gave me a visual. It was like the
is going through her.
Exactly.
And I will say it does give a really strong setup for part two, even though I don't think there should be part two, and you can never have enough Michael Sheen. There I said it. So I probably like this one better than it's probably the best of the Twilight movies, but that's not really saying a lot for me. So there. Your thoughts, my dear.
On the film?
Yes.
I love the film. But I read the books. I'm all into the love story. And you know what? If it was 3 hours, I would have sat through the whole thing and loved every minute of it.
Thank you. Except the studio needs to milk it for every single thing they can get.
Yeah,
I understand
that. Well, it's
that.
Like the Harry Potters. I agree with... I thought the part one to Harry Potter was kind of worthless.
Mm-hmm.
And
please tell me this film's not going to have that part two's not going to have 9 endings like Lord of the Rings.
No,
Harry Potter had 3.
No,
there's
it's
just one ending.
It'll be like Harry Potter, where it's going to wrap it all up, and everyone lives happily ever after, and we don't have to question anything.
And by the way, having the runner up in my life, in my love life, hanging out at the wedding and at the house while I'm pregnant, I got really make a choice. Do something. Oh, you love that. That's why you folks love that. I can see your grin. All right, fine. Let's go across the board. Sammy, your eyes are back in your head, in your ghoul head. What do we do about these glittery vampires and shirtless werewolves?
Well, any werewolf who decides to speak instead of growl and maim someone should not be called a werewolf. And vampires do not glitter. If anything, they'd rather take some tweezers and pick the glitter out of your skin. Not nearly enough blood in this either. They talk about the blood and the lack of blood therewith, being that they don't have the temperature that you have.
You all right there, dear? She's
but indeed, we need a lot more bloodletting in all of those twilights. Otherwise, it's more of a dusk and then a slow death to the end for Sammy.
Okay, I think we beat up on Fair Sweet Bianca long enough for now. So,
come on. We,
like my wife, she's a really good sport. So let's move on with some other titles that are on DVD and Blu-ray. And feel free to chime in. And the question, of course, with the Blu-ray list is, would you buy this on Blu-ray? You know, or... You know, so it better be new, or there better be new features to it. But the other big title for those under the age of 13, Lady and the Tramp is out. So best use of spaghetti since
classic,
Big Night.
Classic.
So love that, big time. I guess we have to mention this, but season two of Downton Abbey, or as The Onion said, watching an episode of Downton Abbey is the equivalent of reading a book. Love, thank you, The Onion. A film I'm surprised, Craig, you have not shown in your fair theater, a very Harold and Kumar Christmas in 3D.
That may be a little too much to see on the IMAX screen.
Sponsored by Pizza World and Weed. Yeah, The Onion, of course, had the running photo of Neil Patrick Harris with a giant candy cane coming at you in 3D. Because it's not a can. Yeah. Anonymous with Ralph Ifans, and it's
who?
Ralph Ifans, everyone's favorite Welsh actor. Shut up.
Loosen the noose. You'll speak better.
That's what David Carradine said. But that's the one where Shakespeare didn't write his plays. We'll move on. It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, starring everybody in the Screen Actors Guild in 1962, looking for a giant W. Casino Royale from 1967. Mm. Not the Daniel Craig one, but the John Huston, David Niven, Peter Sellers, Woody Allen, kind of all over the place. And I really hope there's a documentary about the making of that film, because I think the making of the film is more interesting than the flop that film was. Love Story. Boy, if you like Twilight, you should. You like Love Story?
I do love Love Story.
Love means never having to say die, Ally McGraw, right?
You're a hater.
Look what the cup is. Look what the cup says.
You are. You drink your Haterade.
I do drink my
Haterade. Being a hater.
Well, the best part of a love story is the death, anyway.
Ally McGraw cannot die fast enough in that film, and of course she has one of those. You know, she looks better. She's more beautiful as death starts creeping toward her. You have that effect with the lady, Sammy. What can we say?
I'm so glad.
So, but I mean, really, two Harvard League level brats in love, that's supposed to be compelling?
It's love. Does it have to have any other explanation?
Yes.
No.
It's a secondhand emotion, Tina sang.
Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God.
And Red Clay is a great... Yes, I quote Tina Turner, and Red Clay is a great album by Freddie Hubbard. What more do you want? You've been with the show how long? Oh, now here's a love story. You want a love story? I'll give you a love story. Dangerous Liaisons. Yeah. See? Yeah, I'm getting a sigh up from Sammy over there. So, yeah. And one of the finest cinematic desks ever, Uma Thurman. Day of the Dead in 3D...
This is... Now we're talking.
another one sponsored by Pizza World and Weed. This is the 2008 remake with Ving Rhames and Mia Savari. The 1937 A Star is Born with Frederick March. You need more pizza and weed to watch the 1976 Barbara Streisand version, I assure you. Ben-Hur, starring Charlton Heston, written by Gore Vidal. Great chariot race scene. We're checking out. And, who asked for Dr. Seuss Cat in the Hat on Blu-ray?
No one.
That would be Mike Myers. Yeah. So, and speaking of Bill Condon, Dreamgirls is out on Blu-ray, as well as Throw Mama from the Train. So run to your stores, folks. Enjoy that. Sammy Terry, how are you, friend?
I'm doing fine. In fact, I'm just getting a visual on Throwing Mamas from the Train.
And that's Mothers and Mothers with an O. And to you.
Absolutely.
Now, you have an event coming up on Channel 4, Valentine's Day, because love means never having to say, Sammy Terry's on TV. Tell us a little bit about your upcoming special.
Absolutely. This coming Tuesday night on Valentine's Night at 10 p.m. on WTTV Channel 4, I'll be hosting the original 1960 Roger Corman Little Shop of Horrors. It'll be a wonderful time to cradle up with your sweetie after you've had your Valentine's Day and learn what true love is as a vegetable devours humanity.
Was it Catherine Sigel? No. And thank you for adding the extra syllable on horrors. That would be a whole different movie if it wasn't.
It certainly would. They wouldn't allow me to do the other. And I'll let you know, Matthew, that as a brand new thing, not so much with the past TV specials, being that Sammy Terry's fans are spread now all over the world in the United States, I've not been able to release my television specials on DVD, and there were no type of internet casts on any of them. But this one I am going to be releasing on DVD in just a couple weeks. It'll have about 20 minutes of extra footage that we're not able to show on television, and including a special guest star, Cowboy Boob.
Wait a minute, I think that's the other Little Shop movie you were talking about. And how is the fair cowboy?
Oh, Cowboy is doing very well. In fact, he stumbles across my castle with his little werewolf dog, which is much more appealing than the Twilight dogs.
Less anger issues.
We eat well that night on hot dog.
Now, is your castle a William Castle?
Interesting you would mention William Castle. William Castle, of course, did House on Haunted Hill, and if we're lucky, we'll be showing that with a special presentation come April on WTTV Channel 4, so be watching that.
Now, you're talking the Vincent Price version, not the Jeffrey Rush remake. The only redeeming factor was I salute Jeffrey Rush for being married to Famke Janssen. That's all kinds of awesome, but that's about it.
Absolutely. It is the original, and of course, being in Sammy Terry's realm, I am still in contact with William himself.
Oh, and how's William doing?
William's doing very well, cigar after a cigar. He's doing extremely well.
Is he smoking him through his neck yet?
Absolutely. His neck, the hole in his heart, and both ears. Without a soul or without blood gives you all kinds of options.
So I know you got some merchandise on your website. How do you click on the keyboards with those things under your hood?
Absolutely. On the SammyTerryNightmares.com website, you will find all kinds of Sammy Terry memorabilia and collectibles, as well as my DVD library. I've got 6 classic horror films in my DVD library, and we'll be adding the 7th of the Little Shop of Horrors very soon. And you'll also get to see a short video of Sammy Terry's Dream Girl from 1986. Tammy Malone was with me then, and I've dug her up again to come and help me. You'll want to make sure you check out SammyTerryNightmares.com and get yourself the Sammy Terry comic book and an autograph or a hoodie, sweatshirt, and a t-shirt to keep you warm on these cold Indiana nights.
Now, this is a comic book, not a graphic novel, because, well, we're grown-ups here. It's okay. That's quite fine. Tell us the titles you got, the movies that you have available on DVD, Sammy.
Oh, the movies that are available are The Screaming Skull, a wonderful portrayal of how skulls should chase you through the forest. The Horror Express.
Thank you for that extra syllable.
A great film about a racing train and all of the perils that happen there. Bikini Monsters for all of those that need their blood to pump a little bit more.
Was that film shot in Brazil? It wasn't a Brazilian?
It was not a Brazilian.
Okay.
And there was no waxing involved either.
Okay.
Dementia 13, one of my all-time favorites. Nothing like drowning your woes in a lake in the back of your mansion.
And that is an early Francis Coppola film. And but not nearly as scary as Finian's Rainbow. Go on.
And lastly, other than the Little Shop of Horrors, is Carnival of Souls, a wonderful story of one who doesn't know quite that she is dead until she discovers that. So feel free to order any of my DVDs on my SammyTerryNightmares.com website.
Sammy, with Valentine's Day coming up, is in your neck of the woods, is there any way of celebrating? Is Is love a secondhand emotion?
Valentine's Day is a very appropriate time for Sammy Terry to have a television special. You see, Cupid is so associated with Valentine's. But Cupid is not necessarily the small, young child with a bow and a little wing and a cute little smile. No, Cupid indeed is a ferocious beast, an eternal winged creature that swoops down on the innocent, drawing back his fearsome bow and driving a javelin stake through the hearts of man. For men, once pierced by his poisonous arrows, never return and become a shadow of who they once were. Saying things, embarrassingly so, like Kobe says,
"Can we go see Twilight now?"
So you see, Cupid might have done more horror and devastation to this world than Godzilla, Gamera, or any of the classic horror monsters.
And you know what? I think he just gave Catherine Hardwick her new film idea. After doing a Little Red Riding Hood, I think Cupid is next. A hard-edged, or Zack Snyder for that matter. So we like that. So. All right. I want to move on to a couple of obits, because that's what we do here at Film Sociology. We give you Hollywood obits, or in Sammy's world, new neighbors.
The highlights. Highlights of the show. My tombstone patio is ripe and ready for all of them.
He has a welcome casserole. It's lovely. What's in the casserole again?
Oh, nothing but eyes of newt and wings of bat.
Gingrich? Okay. All right. So, and I thought of you exactly, Sammy, with this one. This was, I think, last week. You don't know the name, but you've seen the face. But a rest in peace to actor Bill Hinsman, who was the very first zombie that attacked Barbara and her dim-witted brother in 1968's Night of the Living Dead. So, and the fastest of the zombies, by the way. I think he carries the Olympic torch for the cast from 28 Days Later. But he was 75 and just, you know, and of course wound up doing the horror show circuit, from the convention circuit, but wound up in films like Martin and Dawn of the Dead, Flesh Eater, The Majorettes, River of Darkness. But that's an iconic, that's one that's on T-shirts. That's one that everybody knows, whether you've seen Night of the Living Dead or not. So, Bill, thank you for scaring the crap out of us at a young age. We really appreciate that. Actor Ben Gazzara, who, besides being one of the John Cassavetes players, if you saw Husbands, Killing a Chinese Bookie, Opening Night, there's one of his early films is coming out on Blu-ray, Criterion. He was the guy up for murder in Anatomy of a Murder, the Otto Preminger film with Jimmy Stewart, George C. Scott, and the visually stunning Lee Remick.
It's obit music.
Really? Oh, that's you. Mm-hmm. I thought it was somebody's phone.
I did too.
It's like, who the heck?
Where is this coming from?
Is that Claire de Lune?
Yeah.
That's not obit music. It's obit music.
We need more organs. Lots of pipes. A celebration, in fact.
I think that's Sunday nights with pipe dreams on WFYI HD1. So, yeah.
I will note, Claire de Lune also plays in Twilight.
Great. Is that any different from Twilight? Because I don't know the film Twilight. May I get back to praising Ben Gazzara?
You may.
Thank you. Anatomy of a Murder. Something I didn't know. He was the original brick in the Broadway production of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Wound up doing a lot of films like St. Jack and They All Laugh with Peter Bogdanovich, Tales of Ordinary Madness. You know him in The Big Lebowski, Todd Solondz's Happiness, Summer of Sam, briefly in the Thomas Crown Affair, Dogville. Cult movie fans know him as the villain in Roadhouse.
Indiana Jones.
And Indiana Jones. So quite a career. And one of the method guys from back in the 50s, so we say thank you to that. And this is one, if you are my age and Craig's age, and a fraction of Sammy's age, we're the same age, aren't we?
Sure.
Fine. if you're my age, period, and a fraction of Sammy's, jerk. Zalman King passed away, and anybody who watched cable in the 80s and shows like Red Shoe Diaries, the guy responsible for Two Moon Junction, 9½ Weeks, Wild Orchid. Oh, see, you're perking up now, Craig. You know those titles.
No comment. No
yeah,
comment.
Nice forearm. But C is no longer with us. And, you know, I think I'd rather watch 9.5 weeks than Twilight. You'll love the refrigerator scene.
I've seen 9.5 weeks. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Kobe, you know about her knowing this?
Uh-uh. What?
We have the DVD in our DVD collection.
Seriously? You own 9.5 weeks?
Yeah, I've seen that in there.
And you haven't watched it?
No. I don't know what it is.
You do now.
I guess I might have to.
I think I know what you guys are doing tonight. Skip Target.
I'm going to reenact the refrigerator scene.
She said it, not me. So, but as an extra weird bonus, I found out that my dad went to high school with Zalman King back in Trenton, New Jersey in the 50s. So my dad went to high school apparently with Zalman King and Al Downing, former New York Yankees pitcher who wound up also, yes, Al Downing in the sports trivia world was also the guy that delivered the home run number 715 to Hank Aaron. So, but yeah, if you're a young man and you enjoyed softcore cable, yes, thanks Zalman King. We appreciate it. So there you go.
Are you going to do one of those? Yeah, I'll burn it for $5.
No. I think we'll pass that. Well, maybe. How much time we got?
We got 10.
We got 10? You know, we'll do that segment in a little bit. But there's a segment we haven't done in a while. And do you have the intro ready? Are you ready?
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe Watching?
Okay, now it's been a while. You have some films that are still out in, there's a stack that I've given you.
Yep.
And then, of course, my opponent here. See, we're in a battle for Kobe's cinematic soul.
Matt, there's no battle.
Oh, yeah,
the
I won.
The winner has been chosen.
Yeah, I'm glad you think
she's
I'm the
right
chosen
here.
One, but...
Do you see the damage that Cupid does?
I know. I'm going to take that bow and stick it somewhere. So, okay, fine. Bianca, Fair Sweet Bianca, what have you made Kobe watch this week? Or what has Kobe watched this week?
We watched Hot Coffee.
That's not a Pam Grier film. You know that.
No. Yes. That's Coffee, which I have seen.
And is hot.
But no,
Vintage
hot
Chicks.
Coffee.
Yes.
Vintage Chicks, Sammy.
So Hot Coffee, this is based on the famous lawsuit that the old lady who didn't know she had hot liquid in her lap, but no, did know it was hot liquid
in
her lap.
There's a lot of misconceptions about that, and this is what the documentary answers, because there's a lot of misperception as to whether or not she was driving and had the coffee and then spilled it, but in actuality she was a passenger. Her grandson was driving. They stopped in the parking lot. She went to take the lid off of the coffee to put some cream and sugar in, had it between her legs, and as she took the lid off, it spilled. And in the investigation, they found out that the coffee in the pot was, I think, like 10 degrees over what it really should have been.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a sense, it made a difference. And I think people were getting angry with her lawsuit because it was, well, it's coffee, duh, it's hot, and you spill it, what do you expect to happen?
Right.
But it was more so about the fact that McDonald's had previous complaints.
700.
In what, California?
New Mexico.
Oh, New Mexico.
I don't know if it was just...
It probably wasn't just
to New Mexico, but they had
complaints in general.
Complaints in general that had been unanswered, pretty much ignored, so she shed light on that, and...
And there's some other stories about...
Frivolous
lawsuits.
I see.
And things of that nature.
Like tort reform, caps on damages. And they have, the McDonald's one is not like the main one. They have.
But it's probably the most known.
Yeah.
It is. It is the most known. But they just, they go on and talk about some loopholes in the law and just kind of shedding some light on it. They don't really, per se, offer a stance that someone should take. It's more of, here's what's going on, and what do you think about it?
Yeah.
And you wound up doing research about this, right? Fair Sweet Bianca?
regarding
Kobe.
What?
You know, as far as double-checking the, you know, checking on the information, reading articles up on this. Or you just, no, I was thinking about your notes that you had written down. You were just talking about the movie itself.
Yes.
So did it anger you and make you want to find out more? or at least think about frivolous lawsuits in a different light.
Yeah.
Well, mission accomplished.
Definitely. It did. Yeah, no, most definitely. And I think a huge people say frivolous lawsuits that people are just suing to get millions of, you know, dollars in their pocket. But it's more of someone just wants justice and they want to make sure that it doesn't happen to people in the future.
Okay.
Otherwise, you know, we wouldn't have to wear seatbelts. We wouldn't have airbags. We wouldn't have any of that stuff. And people look at that as a frivolous lawsuit, but in a sense, it saves other people from being harmed in the future.
As we know from Wesley, McDonald's will put pounds on you. All right, let's open it up to the panel. What should Kobe be watching next, Craig?
I don't know what you're waiting to see.
I've still got Bullet, and I've got
Bullet.
Oh my God, Hitchcock.
Notorious.
Notorious.
Bullet. I'd Bullet. Definitely go with Bullet.
And you've been bugging me about watching Bullet. So.
Because I'm gonna give you Bullet.
And I did give you Bullet.
Yeah, like
a few weeks ago.
A lot of months after the fact.
Shut up. I still gave it to you. Sammy, what should Kobe be watching?
I think Kobe, being that he'll probably be watching 9.5 weeks very shortly, I think he should get a complimentary copy of my Bikini Monsters DVD. I'm sure you and Bianca will enjoy watching what true beach creatures can do.
Euro guys in Speedos. Different movie. And what's on your list? Do you keep a list, Bianca, of movies you want to show Kobe?
I don't.
I have to write mine down because
I'd like to show him The Help. That's next.
White people helping black people. That's good.
We also watched Water for Elephants.
Oh, that's right. And how is the idea of Christoph Waltz being married to Reese Witherspoon, which, of course, I'm all for, of course.
Christoph Waltz is awesome.
He is awesome.
Yeah.
He is always awesome. And by the way, when it comes to liquid, at the same time, Haterade never burns, and Haterade always burns. he's not glittery in this one.
No.
But he runs away and joins the circus.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, I didn't really get anything out of it. It's just kind of something that you watch, and that's it.
But it did reiterate the awesomeness of Christoph Waltz.
Yes, so there is that.
There is
so
that.
In case it's been a while since you've seen Inglourious Basterds and you've forgotten how awesome Christoph Waltz is. Yeah, you could watch this and he is the stuff.
And sadly, Carnage is not in theaters, but he's great in that. But there is Gods of Carnage, the stage play is going to be opening at IRT very, very soon. Craig, have you been watching any old new titles lately?
I've been trying to catch up. Drive, I finally got to see.
Drive.
Great, great film.
Ooh, boy.
Muppets, I finally got to see the Muppets.
Muppets won't be at the Oscars this year, folks. We're sorry.
Very sad.
Two songs, that's okay.
I believe there is an online petition to try to get them on there, though.
Of course there is. Course. That's not a setup. No.
I'm just trying to get current on the Oscar noms. I still got to see Your Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
Okay. Sammy, have you been watching anything? I'm trying to envision your screening room at home, Sammy.
My screening room at home is the dank, dark dungeon wall.
Oh, so it's a downtown theater.
Exactly.
Not your downtown, the other
But I
place.
Don't have those age restrictions like those other ones do.
Yeah, but they don't follow those, except for at Craig's place. Notice I was quick for a rebuttal on that one.
Yeah.
I pull out my old reel-to-reel with my classic horror films, for Sammy Terry loves the old black-and-white classics, not so much the twinkling, sparkling ones of today, Bianca. So I very much enjoy all of the William Castle Library and all of the old classics that most people are asking for time and time again.
So now that you have the special coming up on Valentine's Day on TTV4, we've got about 8 months before your busy time. Any possibility of you popping up during the summer?
Absolutely. Again, there is a likelihood that I'll be having another television special come April. There will be a Sammy Terry short film festival eventually that doesn't have a date that I'll let you know as that progresses.
Oh, it's that time, TBA. They're also a very popular band.
And of course, I have the release of Creeporia. It's a classic type horror movie, family friendly, that Sammy Terry has a cameo role, that's in post-production now in Hollywood, that will be doing an Indianapolis premiere this summer.
Awesome. All right, cool. We got some words to live by.
Yes, we do.
Right. Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Okay, Sammy Terry, CTV4, 10 o'clock, Tuesday, Little Shop of Horrors. Craig Mintz over at IMAX. Of course, they're showing Rescue 3D, Mission Impossible. Really good stuff. Fair Sweet Bianca, a really good sport. You know you're invited back no matter how much we treat you. And Kobe, what can I say, man? Enjoy 9.5 weeks. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point, WFYI.org. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Detroit, win some games, please. We gone!